Are we allowed to talk?
Okay. Yay! You can tell Katie and I have done this a lot recently.
You should bring Kaya to the Puppy Fest. It'll be a lot of fun.
Okay, we'll look into that.
That's in June?
It's in June. And Malcolm had a lot of fun last time. There's lots of puppies, and there's a dunk tank, too, for the doggies.
That's true. We don't bring
Aria. Jump in it.
Yeah, it's a jump tank.
So it's a pool.
Yes.
It's a pool.
With like a dog diving board, kind of?
Well, it's a platform.
Yeah.
It's not like a diving board.
It's cool, though. Does anyone know what episode number this is? Because I do not.
199, according to the message Andy sent us.
We should have come next week instead.
We should have.
Yeah.
Special 200th episode, The Shay's Return.
Yeah. Can we come next week and I'll just get really drunk and then people can complain that I'm annoying when I'm drunk again?
They would never complain.
No one would ever complain about you, Katie.
No, I'm pretty sure that it happened.
Did it? Is that what you remember?
What?
Just yelling at my phone.
Oh, okay.
So I plug in a fucking headset into it, and it thinks, earphones.
Earphones, sure.
Into it, and it thinks it's a fucking headset all the time.
Oh, it thinks it's trying to pick up microphone-ness?
Yep.
That's helpful of it.
So Google keeps on popping up. There we go. It's listening. Thank you, Google.
It loves you.
I just want to fucking test the goddamn audio stream that's going out.
I don't know. So how does this podcast thing work?
I love you. I just
want
to fucking test it again. Goddamn audio stream.
Announcement.
Don't we introduce ourselves first?
Introductions.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Andy. I'm fucking with my phone.
I'm Brian.
I'm Nathan, and I was fucking with my phone. But then I put it away.
Katie wants to say something dirty.
No, I don't. My name is Katie.
My name is Jeremy. Valiant 418 on the forums.
No, they don't exist anymore.
I mean, they still exist-ish. They're very different. They don't exist.
Did you watch all the old Twin Peaks? Because I only made it halfway through. But I did read Laura's diary.
Twin Peaks is garbage, as is pretty much everything David Lynch has ever done.
Okay, but somebody wants to know how excited you are about it.
I'm not, because Twin Peaks is garbage, as is pretty much everything David Lynch has ever done.
So you're fairly excited, would you say?
That one movie where that chick was naked a lot.
It's a strong
movie
plus.
Was terrible.
What movie?
Oh, man, what was the name of his... The name of his movie was really original, his old stuff.
Erasurehead? I'm okay with Erasurehead.
I don't know that one.
It's his big breakthrough one. Okay. It's weird as shit, but it's actually...
It's the one half.
Yeah, well, Dune. He did Dune.
Oh, he did Dune?
Dune. Well, Dune is like a guilty pleasure because it's so cheesy dumb.
I mean,
dumb.
It is, but it's good.
Had you ever read Dune?
I had.
And
I still enjoy
remember
it.
Remember how, like, heart plugs aren't a thing because it's the dumbest thing ever, and you don't cure poison by duct taping a cat to a rat, and how there aren't voice-activated laser guns that say different amount of killing depending on what word you say because that's all dumb as fuck. Like, it's so cheesy and weird, but I do love Dune.
But it is, yeah.
Dune and Eraserhead are the two David Lynch things I enjoy.
Okay.
And I feel like everything he's done afterwards, he's just as weird as possible in an attempt to be as artistic as Eraserhead was naturally. Like, it feels artistic in Eraserhead. It feels forced and masturbatorial in everything else.
Okay.
He's like, isn't this deep? And you're like, no, it's just weird. It's like, no, but that donkey has a head on backwards and it's making goat noises. It's like, yeah, so? Like, yeah, it's weird. And? It's like, ugh.
All right. So... I think Wild at Heart is one of his movies he made. So that was a big movie that came out in the 90s. Wild at Heart had Nick Cage. For some reason, me and my group of friends wanted to go watch that. And we went to the video store, because that's what you did back in the day.
I remember.
And we weren't sure the name of the movie. We knew it was Wild. We rented Wild Orchid instead of
I don't
Wild
know what
Heart.
That is.
It's basically porn.
Ah, okay.
It's like me and two or three guys sit down to watch this David Lynch movie. This is right around Dune time, so it's still like enjoyable.
So how
to watch.
Old were you?
Oh, we were like, I mean, this is 90s. This is probably like 92 we rented. So 18.
18, okay.
So 18 year olds.
So it's believable for 18 year olds wanted to still watch porn together, I guess.
Well, I mean, we think David Lynch really changed his style. We don't realize until a while into the movie.
Which is the one with Dennis Hopper and the is that Wild at Heart? When Dennis Hopper has the air the oxygen tank.
Possibly.
And he has the rant about, you know, fuck Heineken. It's all about Pabst Blue Ribbon. One's got its moments too.
It does, but now when you're watching Wild Orchid, you're like, man.
Turns out Wild Orchid's different.
Lynch just really got into porn. It's just we're all like, awkward. It was a very awkward moment. And then we finally realized it, like a ways in.
It's awkward because it's never.
So did you guys finish?
Well, there was no internet. There was no internet to
and
double
did they
check.
They finish.
Yeah, we watched a lot
did
of.
Not
it.
Answer either question.
I didn't hear the question. Sorry.
Did you finish the movie? And did you finish?
Oh, well, not as a group, no. And I don't remember if we watched all of it. We got pretty invested at some point because we were like, more than but like we're pretty confident this is wrong because there's no internet to double check. We're just like, okay, well, we thought this was the name of the movie.
Oh, and my then, God. Yeah. That's kind of amazing.
I rented Bound with, like, three of my buddies. And, I mean, that movie's amazing, but it also has some pretty hardcore lesbian sex.
Well, every
sex
guy
scenes.
Watches Bound for a different reason. They get, they, you know,
I watch it for two reasons. Well, no, but you, one of those reasons I watch it alone. The other reason I watch
But with, you didn't know. Like, no one knew when you rented the movie that it was going to be good. You just watch it for the lesbians. And you go, wait a minute, it's actually a good movie.
That's true.
I've never seen that movie either.
Bound is actually super good. It's like... a really good, like, mafia, gangster, you know, whatever kind of movie. Like, these people fuck over the mafia, and then they're going to try to kill them and stuff. But the people happen to be super hot lesbians. Huh. Well, they're not lesbians at the start, but they discover together how awesome it is to finger blast each other.
Okay, then.
So, are they actually lesbians, or are they bisexual, or are they just curious?
One of them is a lesbian, for sure. And then the other one is bisexual slash curious. She has never been with a woman before.
Okay. Fair enough.
But, yeah.
That makes sense.
Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly.
I don't know who those people are.
Jennifer Tilly. Yes.
You know who Gina you've seen Gina Gershon.
Okay. Gina Gershon, yeah, you've seen Gina Gershon.
I believe you. I just don't know who that is.
Do you ever see any? No, of course you haven't. Never mind. You've seen neither of these people ever.
I like Bound.
And Andy's back.
It was a Wachowski brothers movie.
Oh, I like them.
I just want to point out that the
now the Wachowski sisters.
They were brothers.
They were brothers at the time.
They were brothers, and then brothers, and then siblings.
Now
and
sisters.
Oh yep. My!
They keep changing.
Oh my!
More power to them.
Sure.
Oh, she is really pretty.
Yeah. No, Jennifer Tilly is adorable and also extremely hot.
I do recognize her now.
Most famous movies, of course, are Bride of Chucky, and then also Child of Chucky.
Yeah.
Less famous for that.
Seed of Chucky.
That's what it was.
I didn't like those movies. I thought they were really creepy when I was a kid.
That's why they were made. The first couple are really creepy, and then after that, they become comedies.
They made a new one like a couple years ago that went back to the creepiness. Like a girl with a wheelchair got the doll, so it was more of a like just a disturbing back to its roots.
Interesting.
Thing. Cool.
I need to finish my game.
And that's Wild Orchid.
two shades of blue.
Announcements? I guess
that's the announcements. David Lynch did not make the movie Wild Orchid.
All right,
we got a couple June events, right? There's the Frankenstein's the 24th.
There's
and then a Milwaukee one on the same weekend. Unfortunately, I think because I got invited to it.
Nope,
that got to get moved. Okay,
after I posted my event.
Okay.
No, there's the Frankenstein event, the charity event that's happening on June 24th, which is basically you bring your models, whatever models from whatever army, into your army.
At same points and everything?
Same points.
So you pay $1 per point cost.
Correct.
So if you want to use a 15-point model that doesn't belong to your faction, you got to donate $15. $15 to the charity.
Okay.
So some of those things like the choir or Arcanists that are dirt cheap point-wise and are powerful.
Arcanists are not that strong. Nobody needs them.
So who's the charity for?
Charity is for the YMCA in Madison here. So that will go directly donated to there. There is a list of other type of donations that you can see on the Facebook page.
Okay.
If you want to donate stuff like that, we might try to figure out some kind of dollar value on there. But otherwise, cash is king.
And there's also rules clarification on there for some of the more fiddly rules things that people have been asking about.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
One person was asking about all the time. But yeah, no, there's pretty much anything... anything that you would really think how it would work in a War Machine faction, that's pretty much how it would work in a War Machine faction.
And vice versa.
There's some timing issues. Like somebody had asked very specifically about how Athink works
in a
War Machine force.
Yeah.
So since... I'm going to go into a little rules here. Sorry, Katie. So since the...
Wait a minute. I have an interjecting question.
Uh-oh.
Are they giving you receipts for your donations?
What do you mean? What?
The YMCA will give you a receipt for your donation. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
Katie asked the accountant question. Carry on.
Okay. So now I lost all train of thought. Okay. So I think basically what happens is after
Thagrosh's rule.
Yeah.
Is this Thagrosh?
Yeah, I put this here.
It feels nice.
Yeah.
I know, right?
Stop messing. That was supposed to be part for Dark Souls.
It's velvety.
I know.
Well, it's just a bed sheet. That's all it is.
It's a nice bed sheet.
Yeah.
It feels soft. Anyway, Athink on Thagrosh.
So normally in Hordes, after a Warlock Reaves Fury, if you're not at full Fury, you just get all your Fury back.
Sure.
So in War Machine, it works slightly differently. It works as basically after replenishing Focus, it then replenishes Focus.
Oh, so it would give you an extra focus?
It would help with like upkeeps, I think.
It would help for, no, not even for upkeeps, because that's even, that you pay for upkeeps after that point. After that fact. So the only thing that would actually prevent is, let's say, if you had something that prevented you from getting focus, such as...
You could get one.
Iris? No, no.
I think in Mark 3 is all.
All.
Oh,
in
really?
Mark 3, yeah. It's up full. To full.
Oh.
He's always full.
I have not played my Legion in Mark 3.
Yeah.
Full disclosure.
So basically, if he gets hit with Iris 1... Then he goes through the step of does not replenish,
sure.
But then replenishes.
Oh, so it gets him around Iris.
Correct.
And that's about it.
Similar to like how...
Does What's-His-Face's feet still do that, or did that change? Sebi?
Mosar?
Sebi had a feat where you didn't get your focus.
Oh, Sebi did the War Machine side, right, because Mosar was
back in the day. I think Sebi's feet is completely different now, too. Okay. But it would get around Sebi's feet. It also, like, Iris can't get rid of soul tokens, and it's worded almost exactly like that. It's basically after... The caster replenishes focus, replace souls with this.
And Thagrash would be free because he has no point cost.
No.
To put in your army?
Technically, all casters are $25.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to put, if you're playing your Rhett, and for some odd reason you want to put Thagrash into your Rhett Force.
No, Kane 3.
Well, if you want to put Kane 3 into your Rhett Force, then, and give away your strats right away.
Speaking of Kane 3.
Yes.
Can I pay $25 to have Kane 3 lead a dwarf army?
Yes.
Yeah, power up, bitches.
Oh, yeah, because normally he...
Nothing but gun bunnies.
Gun bunnies everywhere. Yep.
Yeah.
It's broken.
Kane 3 is pretty broken just with chargers, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah. Well, gun bunnies are like half the cost have powerful attack.
Yeah, I know.
No, don't the chargers, aren't they 5 points or something like that? No, I'm thinking galvanizers. Never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Came with a bunch of galvanizers.
Also good.
So that's our first announcement.
So anyway, first announcement. What else we got?
There is a Milwaukee event that's happening. I think that event that was going to be happening on the same weekend got bumped over to July.
Okay.
MomCon is next weekend. I have a Blood Bowl tournament. Everyone should go to it. It's an amazing Blood Bowl tournament. This coming weekend.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Memorial Day. Right?
Yes.
Memorial weekend. Yep.
I have watched so many podcasts recently where it seems like it's our podcast, but I realize that it's just everyday things where everyone argues about Transformers being bad, about next weekend, things basically pretty much...
This weekend and next weekend. It's very obvious.
I know, but it's conversations like that. I just see it repeating everywhere, and it's not...
We're trendsetters. They listen to us first.
It's not us, but
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, no, it is. The Rooster Teeth people listen to us.
Yep.
No.
Yep.
They're huge fanboys.
No.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
You don't know that.
They wear a shirt with my face on it.
It's true. If you were watching the Rooster Teeth podcast and Gavin had like an unplayable trash t-shirt, you would shit your pants.
If you sent it to him, he might...
I know. I kind of want to send it to him just to blow Andy's mind.
That would pretty much blow my mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I'll be in Dallas the next 4 days.
Oh, that's right. For your training. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Dallas Kemp. You'll be in Dallas, the state.
Maybe
right?
Both.
Dallas is not a state.
Dallas is a state of mind.
Dallas is a city in Texas.
Whoa! Fuck, what just happened?
Geography,
Jeremy just corrected you on geography.
And was right.
Yes.
I correct people on geography all the time, but this time I was right.
Well, it is...
I'm cheating a little in that I used to live in that state, but still.
Dallas is the one...
Anything. Houston? Remember when we asked you what the capital of Wisconsin was?
Uh-huh. Green Bay, right?
Dallas is unfortunately like the only place in Texas where I have no friends or family.
Oh, like, that's too bad.
Houston and El Paso and Austin, I know people.
Houston's only about 3 hours from Dallas, depending on where in Dallas you are.
So I'll do a 6.5 hour round trip.
You do an hour and a half each and meet in the middle. Yeah.
Sure.
It's a lot closer than Wisconsin.
It is.
It is a lot closer than Wisconsin.
But still. So that's exciting. Although it's kind of miserable, hot down there and humid this time of year.
I mean, just Texas is terrible in general.
Yeah.
It's nice during the winter. When it's shitty here, Texas is really nice.
Never shitty here.
No.
Okay, well.
It's shitty worst here case, it's ice
you
fishing
and I disagree.
Weather.
this spring has been amazing so far, though.
Yeah.
I love the fact that one day I'm turning on my air conditioner because it's 80-something outside, and then the next day I'm actually turning on the heat because it's fucking 40 outside.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, what?
Yeah, it's been kind of bananas, but that's okay.
But I enjoy it. This mild weather is the best. 40s, 50s, 60s. I
like this weather a
lot. I can live in this weather forever.
I like this weather a lot, but that's okay.
But I don't want it to rain all the time, so that's why I don't live in
Seattle.
That's
the thing. When it's 80 during the day and it's 60 at night and kind of drizzly, That's the best weather.
So California minus the drizzly?
60-degree drizzly night is the best.
I don't know if I agree. I don't know if I agree with that.
And then thunderstorms occasionally, and then sunny during the day. Night needs to be 60 and drizzly, and thunderstormy sometimes, and day needs to be mid-70s sunny.
I'm going to disagree on the drizzly.
I like the drizzly. Because you can hear it on
the window. Yeah, it's soothing. It's nice.
I like thunderstorms. Those are soothing and
nice. I like thunderstorms better, yeah.
Yep.
Agreed.
I want 70... in dry. I went.
So you should move to California.
Awesome. Or not Arizona.
Yeah. Oh, Arizona, same deal.
Australia.
Also parts of Australia. The good parts, the habitable parts.
Yeah. So not
all
Australia.
Of Australia is habitable. Yeah. No. Depends on how long.
Yeah. Very temporarily.
And then we saw a movie.
That's it for announcements. I don't think there's anything else upcoming.
I don't think so.
MomCon, Frankenstein event, Milwaukee event. Boom. Good on us.
There's always this tournament on the second weekend in Chicago.
Yeah. Well, fuck them.
Meh. All right. So then you guys saw a movie.
We saw Alien Covenant.
Yes.
Alien.
What's that movie about?
Alien.
Did you ever see the Sigourney Weaver Alien movies?
Nope.
I did see those.
Oh, you haven't.
She has not.
Katie, we need to do a movie night.
The first two are legitimately incredibly good.
I would agree.
The first one is one of the most celebrated horror movies of all time.
That even I enjoy.
Prometheus?
But I know what the monster looks like, though.
That's fine. Yeah,
that doesn't matter.
You see the monster relatively early. You know, the first movie does a good job of, you see it in flashes and little bits of it, but it's fine.
It's like Jaws, in a sense, where you don't really see it looks like a shark,
but it doesn't matter that you know it looks like. Yeah, that's a perfect example.
That is a good example.
So Alien is one of the most important and best horror movies of all time, and Aliens is one of the best and most important action films of all time.
I don't know if I agree with the second. I definitely agree with the first one.
Like, it was so groundbreaking for the time.
It was.
And
it
that
was.
Makes it important.
That's fair.
Also, okay. It still is amazing.
It is still amazing. Like, I still enjoy
the
it.
The director's cut of Aliens is still one of the best action films you've ever seen.
I've never seen the director's cut of it.
It's super good. It adds a couple key scenes.
Okay. I don't think
it's hard not to see the director's cut of Aliens anymore. Yes.
There's a huge, huge sequence at the very beginning showing you Newt's family and how they actually find...
Maybe I've only seen the director's cut.
And the whole thing about Ripley with her daughter.
I've only seen the director's
but
cut.
But whatever.
Ripley and her daughter and awesome autocannon scenes.
Yes, and an awesome autocannon scene. So the director... You watch Aliens, you definitely watch director cut. And Alien 3 is a flawed movie that it's okay not to like, but the director's cut makes it a decent film that I very much like.
That's the one with the... Preggers alien?
That's the one on the prison planet. No, the pregnant weird mutant crossbreed alien is 4, which is trash.
I don't think I've seen 3. I've seen 4 and I've seen 1 and 2.
3 is on a prison planet. The nice thing that 3 does is it goes back to the first one, which is a shitload of unarmed people trapped someplace with one monster.
Okay.
So you go back to being a horror movie.
But it's less good.
I think it's just as good. I like the director's cut of 3 just as much as the first one, but I know I'm extremely in the minority and I know that that's okay.
Okay.
I really like 3 a lot.
That's Charles Dance in it.
Yes.
Tywin Lannister.
Oh, really?
He's in it.
Oh, wow.
Young and hunky, like a love interest.
What?
Yeah, it's very bizarre.
Okay.
Number 4 is frustrating because it's close to being very enjoyable.
That's how I remember 4.
It's got good dialogue. It's got some interesting points.
Number 4, that's why the dialogue's so good. It does the Joss Whedon thing of being too wacky tongue-in-cheek sometimes. You know, like the Avengers are crack quips, and it works in a comic book movie. It works in a comic book movie. It doesn't work in a monster movie.
It
works in my mind.
In
that's 4, why I, don't like
I felt
4.
Like it worked, but it's I felt like it was a flawed movie in other ways.
I mean, I like that element of it. It was just the creature was so stupid it ruined it.
Newborn or the weird. Yeah, I mean, that's tits. I mean, yeah.
The last act is just stupid.
Last act is what destroyed it.
I would agree. The last act, that one. But it's good.
Had they made a movie just about the mercenaries from their absolute perspective, it would have been a great film.
And if it was made like a decade or two later, I'm not sure the exact timeline, it could have been a tie-in movie because officially Firefly takes place in the same universe as the Alien films.
Oh,
really?
On Serenity, there is the Weyland-Yutani logo on several pieces
of
equipment.
Oh, that's right. I've seen that. Yeah.
They are in the Alien universe. They use Weyland-Yutani equipment.
Huh.
Yeah.
There's also like Han Solo figurines.
Okay, so that universe is our reality in the future.
Yeah, and Weyland-Yutani is our world in the future. So Han Solo would be a movie character that would exist.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Star Trek, he listens to Beastie Boys because in the Star Trek universe, it's a different future. But yeah, Firefly has Weyland-Yutani shit in it.
I would 100% agree. We should at least watch 1 and 2 with Katie. They're very much worth watching, which does not tell me anything about the movie when you guys saw it today.
But the new one takes place 10 years after Prometheus.
Which is a prequel. I've heard Prometheus is still a prequel.
I heard Prometheus was bad.
You have to watch Prometheus to understand Prometheus.
Prometheus loves the smell of its own farts. Oh. It is way up there. It's artsy-fartsy. Yeah.
That's too bad.
This movie makes me appreciate it a little bit more, but it's still offensive.
So yeah. What's Prometheus about?
Basically, a bunch of stupid people being stupid, and then it sucks.
That is actually that's not the one
pretty much
on the
pretty
box.
Much it. It's basically it shows how much Weyland-Yutani spends on people to go and do experiments and such. They go for the lowest bidder.
So,
and the lowest bidder is not very great.
Prometheus is ostensibly a prequel to Alien.
Right, I knew that.
So you see kind of an alien in it at the very, very end. Like, the last shot before the credits is kind of an alien. And to explain how stupid Prometheus is. So they find some black goo on a planet.
Sure.
A robot takes some of the black goo and puts it in a man's scotch. That man drinks the scotch and a goldfish grows in his eye. Then that man fucks his wife. A squid monster grows in his wife who has a cesarean from a surgery machine. That squid monster then latches onto the face of a giant translucent blue alien giant who then, because of being face raped by the squid monster, he splits open and that's where the alien comes from.
The fuck?
Well, it wasn't a true... The thing is, it was alien-esque.
It was alien-esque. It wasn't even the same species. It had, like, human mouth and eyes and stuff.
Which they do actually... Which they do pay off in the second movie because... Covenant...
But that's Prometheus.
That's Prometheus.
The fuck?
So wait a minute. I have a question. Why did the robot put black something in somebody's face?
Excellent question.
Yeah.
In Covenant, they retcon it to be that he's just insane. He's just a crazy robot. The robot's
insane.
The robot is
he kind of gets some vibes that he's
like
kind of crazy.
Android robot?
It is an android. Yeah. And in Prometheus, they go a little more into him being specifically built differently to be more self-aware. No, but he's more self-aware, more human, more encouraged to look into faith, look into the concept of God, look into this. So he's curious what would happen if this goo got into this guy. And turns out what happens is a fish grows in his eye, and then he puts a squid monster in his wife.
So wait a minute. I have a backup question.
You'll have lots of fucking questions. So all just, Prometheus is fucking questions.
When they built this android to be like, let's make you curious about things, they also gave him no like ethics.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
So the guy builds him to find out who God is so that the guy can tag along on like a 10-year mission with scientists who aren't told what their mission is. They're just like, you want to go on a mission? They go, sure, we don't need to know what it is. And then a decade later in the trip, they get told what the mission is by a holograph of the old man because the old man doesn't want them to know that he's on the ship, but he's really hiding on the ship the whole time. And so then his android is there to fuck with him so he can find out who God is. And then the guy's like, surprise, I'm really here. And then he dies anyway, so what the fuck was the point of that? And then they show a scene of him being really young, but the makeup's terrible for the old guy because instead of just getting a young actor and an old actor that look vaguely alike, they put really terrible old man makeup on somebody, so it's the worst thing ever. Also, like, the translucent blue people, they like melt themselves into our water and that seeds all life on our planet, and so that's why we look exactly like them, is because we're made from them. But then why don't squirrels look like them? Like, why only us? But then, yeah.
What?
So wait a minute, I have a question.
And then they leave a message to go to that planet, and that planet's where the goo is, and then we find, like, a holographic tape of them running away from the goo, because the goo's scary for some reason. They don't really explain why they're running away from the goo.
It's a weapon.
Yeah, but then
it's a weapon.
So do people working at armories just randomly run away from the AK-47s?
Yep.
Scary.
Very scary. I don't think they actually hired to get a bunch of scientists to go there. They go and get like their assistants to go there with them on
but
this.
But they still
on
don't tell any of them why they're going on the mission until they're a decade into space.
Correct.
And none of them ask.
Yeah. I think if they would have had a 5-minute window and the movie started, so we hire the dumbest people we could find and we send them to space to see what would happen, that would have made the movie so much more fun to watch.
They have the map maker guy.
Okay, I wanted to do this.
Okay, do that. Explain the map maker guy and the zoologist guy, because fucking switch those two.
So you have a map maker guy.
Sure.
So he's there to map out this derelict spacecraft, which is honestly not really very smart thing for him to do, because all he has to do is just get this little probe out and just press a button and the probe just goes and maps it for him.
Yep.
Okay.
So they instantly have a map of this entire cave
system. And
that
was his whole job. They sent him to do that.
Right.
Yep, that's his
job.
And
so he is now in constant contact with the ship who has a map of the entire place.
Yes. Okay. Then you have the zoologist.
But what happens to that guy?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the map maker guy? He gets lost.
He after that. So he makes a map of the place with the people he's in contact with, and then he gets lost.
Wait a minute.
He gets lost with the zoologist, though.
Correct. And the zoologist stumbles upon they're over close to the black goo stuff. And
there's a dick snake.
Yeah, with something, and he's looking at the black goo, and suddenly this thing kind of pops up. It looks like a fucking cobra. It's even got the flayed out, the sides on it. You're like, and what does the zoologist do? Like, oh, look at that thing. And then it bites him.
What?
Yeah.
Well, that's believable.
He's a zoologist. Zoologist would not go. If it was the map maker guy going, ooh, that thing looks pretty.
And the zoologist is like, don't do that because I understand the concept that when a snake dick comes at you, you leave it alone. How are they lost?
Obviously, somebody is like, you know, it'd be really funny if a map maker got lost. And somebody else is like, you know, it'd be equally funny if a zoologist got bitten by a foreign animal. And they're like, let's make a movie about it.
So it's like, got. Now, the challenge is it's got a lot of good actors. Charlie Theron plays she's like the daughter. Michael Fassbender does a good job, even though he's crazy. I love Michael Fassbender, even when he's bad.
Why is she his daughter?
She's the daughter of like the rich guy, and she's there to
Waylon.
Because I know, why? Well, when you write it, you're like, I'll make her the daughter, and then have it never matter.
Well, I mean, I don't care about because she was always trying to be the best at everything to impress him. And her whole point was she was supposed to be very, very smart, and she was smart. At the end, the ship is crashing at her. Basically, a donut is rolling at her, and she just runs away from the donut instead of turning left or right. So she gets
still
run over.
And she's smart.
Yeah, she's
very bright.
But at least a fish doesn't grow in her eye.
Yeah.
Are we sure it's a fish?
Yes, it's a goldfish. Like a common goldfish you would get from PetSmart. They didn't even have an alien fish grow in his eye. It's a fucking goldfish.
Wait a minute. I have a timeline question.
Yeah.
So if it was a robot that humans built that infested, that got the infestation of the goo, then how are we descended from
alien blue people come to Earth when there's no life. Okay. One of them injects something in himself, jumps in some water, melts. That's where all life on Earth comes from.
Okay.
So then we find we find in caves a constellation carved on the wall, and that constellation we figure out guides us to this planet. This planet, which is just a weapon storehouse. It's not like where the aliens come from. It's just where they store their black goo that murders everyone.
But that's where they decided to write the map to.
That's where they have the map guide us to. We get there. Stupid people get lost and fucked by snakes. The alien takes some of the black goo and puts it in the guy's scotch to say, YOLO, let's see what happens. The robot does that. Yeah.
Obviously.
Then they find one of the aliens that's still there, the giant blue loincloth monster aliens, not the facehugger aliens. Because remember, you don't see the xenomorph aliens till the last frame when it pops out of that guy.
Right.
So you see the giant dude, and he's like, I'm going to murder all the humans that we guided here for some reason. So there's no motivation for him. He just wakes up and starts murdering people.
Okay.
And so then while he's trying to murder him, that's when he like chases her into this room, and that's where she had put the squid monster that she had cesarean out after her fish-eyed husband had impregnated her with it.
I think it's the goo is actually the reason why that it made the goldfish. Now I'm analyzing the film a little bit more. It's probably that black goo that actually, that's how it got created.
Yeah, the goo, like, again, in Covenant, they go into this a little more that the goo fucks with your DNA.
Yeah.
But in every other sequence, it has caused shit to, like, if the goo made the squid monster grow inside the guy, fine. Okay.
Sure.
But why a normal earth goldfish grows in his eye? And he just goes like this, and the goldfish comes out of his eye into a glass, and he's fine.
It's
like, that was weird. Like, oh, fuck, it's big. It is big. It is not a teeny tiny little guppy.
I literally cannot remember that. I think I blacked that out.
It is golf ball sized. Like, it's bigger than his eye. Like, he's like, oh, there's something behind. He does this, and a goldfish falls onto a glass, and it's bigger than his eye. And then he just goes back to work and then bangs his wife later. Like, meh. That'll happen.
Maybe he's on drugs and he thought.
Maybe he stores goldfish in his eyes as a secondary plot that was cut.
Yeah, that's
and
normal.
Had nothing to
it was
do.
Completely unrelated to the black goo.
Yeah,
if the squid grows in him, I'm more okay with it because then the goo fucked with his DNA. It made a monster. Right, it didn't make an earth goldfish, and then he's fine, but then he impregnates his wife with a monster.
So we saw that movie and said, "Hey, as a good idea, let's go see the next sequel."
Yeah, okay, so I question all of your decision-making capabilities, but how was the sequel?
Well, the director of the first one apologized for it, so we had that.
So the other thing, though, too, is this movie came out 4 years ago, I think. So we've given it enough time to...
Forget
it exists. No, not really forget it exists, but honestly, when we first started seeing commercials for Alien Covenant, at least for me, I'm like, oh my god, this looks like more of this... Oh no. They're all, it's the same fucking robot!
Same robot, same thing. People go on a planet and take their fucking space helmets off and just trounce around and get infected by microbes.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, so the new one is, basically, it's Earth is 10 years later. It's just people are on a colony ship being sent out. There's like a crew of like 15, like 2,000 colonists. And there's like a space accident, so they get knocked out of like hyperspeed. And then they, as they fix the ship, they pick up the signal from this rogue planet that's off course. So they go,
the survivor of the first movie.
Yeah.
Oh, they pick up her signal.
So they decide to go investigate it. Because, you know, why not? Because
why wouldn't you?
Well, because they're like, why would there be a human out here? It's kind of weird. And, you know, and they're looking for and the planet appears to be habitable. So they want to.
Other than the fact that the one person on it is.
They get it. Well, they get the distress. It's not even a distress signal. It's her singing John Denver. Like, it's her singing Country Road, Take Me Home.
What?
So, yeah. So they go, well, she was singing it as she landed on the planet after escaping from the first movie.
Okay.
So it's a distress call, and it's a habitable planet that's 8 years closer than continuing to where they're going. So
sure.
Yeah, and there's some other, yeah, exactly. So they go there.
Okay.
And, yeah, exactly. They get there, and it looks habitable, so they're wandering around. Like I said, he takes off his... You'd think they would scan a planet a bit closer, but whatever. They go, they wander around.
They couldn't because of all the... ion storms.
That's true, although just wait in space for the ion storm to clear. Like, they land through a hurricane.
They had to get there, like, right there.
Just wait a week. Like, you already had 7 years you were allotted. Like, just wait a week for that ion storm to not be there. Also, there's a whole planet. Land on the other side.
They're going for the distress signal.
Wait a week for the storm to go away.
Yeah. Sure.
That was very confusing to me. Like, why go through the hurricane when you're already in space?
And the reason why they couldn't land near the distress beacon was because of it was basically a whole bunch of mountains there.
Yeah.
They couldn't actually land a ship there.
Sure, but land where they're going to land, but just wait till there isn't a hurricane.
Sure.
That's exactly all I'm saying.
And there's another robot version of Michael Fassbender. It's a different robot, but it's like a new, like a third or fourth gen. You know, but 10 years later.
Of the robot that wants to find God.
Same actor,
different robot.
His name is Walter. The old one was named David.
Fuck him being named Walter, by the way. Fuck him for being named Walter. He should have been named Edgar or Edward or some other name that starts with an E. Because the first android in the series is named Ash. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, Ash is an android. The second one in the series is named Bishop. The third one is Call. The fourth one is David. They had a pattern going. It should have been something with an E. But what I read on the IMDb, and this is somebody just pulling shit out of their ass to not be angry like I am, is that W is the fourth to last letter in the alphabet.
Correct.
So because he's David's opposite... He's the opposite letter of the alphabet.
Oh, my God. No. No.
No, I read that, too. And
that makes me less angry.
Yeah.
It's dumb, but at least it's something instead of just randomly breaking a pattern.
It does create its own pattern, because this robot is not as... He's a normal android. He's like a good android. He's helpful. He's not
helpful.
Murderous.
He does what the humans tell him to do.
He would not
feed goo
to people.
Okay. Good, I guess. Sure.
And then they meet David, and he murders all of them. The end.
Yeah, basically. It turns out when they got to this planet, David had it was the home planet of those blue aliens.
Sure,
and he had all the he basically dropped the black goo on a planet, and he spent like the last 10 years studying how the black goo infected different creatures.
What? He has been perfecting the black goo because he's just waiting till more humans show up so he can just kill them all.
Wow.
He has decided that humanity doesn't need to exist and that this life form is the new dominant life form in the universe, and he's gonna help it.
Okay, then.
At least he's a villain now instead of this random shit. Like, I'm okay with
that's
that.
True.
This is some people are doing stuff. They go to a place. There's a villain who fucks them over, and they all die. Like, that I can live with.
And that's
there's no goldfish in eyes. There's no random stupid shit.
And a couple of people get infected, and their first version of aliens are a little bit different because how they were infected. David had created the face hugger as his evolution. He had a actual face hugger who infects a person, so you actually see the first true face hugger.
He refined the black goo to the point of creating creates the face hugger.
Okay.
So prior to that, in Prometheus and the first couple people in this one are more natural infections from like the liquid or from spores or whatever, and so that's just or from, you know, squid monsters that come out of a woman after that is an obvious life chain of event.
Yeah, I mean, it just holds together.
It looks pretty cool, and it's pretty violent. It's got some good kills. It's, you know, it's enjoyable. And then, of course, there's two androids that look alike, so it's all the switcheroo.
So they
think they leave, and they're happy with the writing. And, you know, as the audience, you obviously know. You don't see it happen, but you know they switch.
The greatest twist in cinematic history could have been theirs. And that twist would have been, So David and Walter are fighting.
Sure.
And then one of them comes running out and it leaves with the rest of the survivors. Like, I'm Walter, guys.
Yeah. No, he can't do that.
Oh, yeah, he can't wave because he's missed that hand. He's like, I'm Walter, guys. I'm totally Walter. And then they get on the and they get on their ship, and then somehow, after Walter gives an injection to one of the people, that person explodes into another monster. How on earth did that happen, Walter? And then surprise twist, it was David. The greatest twist in cinematic history would have been if that was Walter. Like, it was such an obvious fucking thing that was David. If it's like, oh, I'm seriously Walter. Sorry, guys. I would have shit my pants.
Just ends happy.
It just ends happy.
They just escape. Although, you know, the trailer shows two people dying, and then those people aren't dead with 10 minutes left in the movie, and you're like, oh, well, I guess they didn't get away.
Yeah. That'll happen. Interesting. It sounds like you guys enjoyed it. Better
than if I made a horror movie, I would film every single character's death, but it wouldn't be part of the movie. And this, that way, in trailers, you'd see it and you watch a movie, and the person would die. You're like, what's happening?
Just that would be actually kind of
that would be actually really good.
Yeah, you film every character.
You could also do Clue style, and just have different people die depending on third reel,
depending on location.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was talking
showing. That would be even better.
Yeah. We're showing so the next time they show the film, it's completely different.
But even just the individual theaters within the theater,
The Alien Covenant was kind of a fun movie. It was enjoyable. I mean, you know, it was building off a flawed concept, but they did a lot with it.
Yeah,
and they made it. David was interested. The alien creatures were done.
And apparently,
there's
an acceleration. Like Ridley Scott wanted the second one to still be Prometheus-y, and he didn't want you to see the xenomorphs from the classic series. He wanted to save that for the third of this trilogy. But people were so angry about Prometheus that he accelerated it and moved the xenomorphs into the second one, it would feel more like an alien
film. I think it was well done. I mean, this one, like Brian said, it made me appreciate Prometheus more. Like I said, when I got out of it, I almost wanted to watch it again.
Sequels can help or hurt the previous movie. I think Matrix 2 is a flawed movie. Matrix 3 could have been good and made Matrix 2 better. And this movie doesn't. I mean, Prometheus is almost a lost cause, but it does add a little bit of credence to it. And it's still.
So is there going to be a third movie still?
I believe there still is, yeah.
It beat out Guardians this week.
It made very little money. It made less than $50 million. It was
How is that true if it beat out Guardians?
Guardians like third week.
Yeah. Well, right. But I mean, Guardians, I would think, would still be putting up big numbers.
It is. I mean, it's still the second biggest film.
Yeah.
Movies really
only make money the first few weeks now. They really start. That's true. Remember,
the first Guardians, when it came out, was number one, number one, number one, number two, then back to number one. It dipped for something else's first. I think it was TMNT's first week.
Possibly.
Guardians' third week. But it had that spurt, and then it just died.
Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
And honestly, it's got decent reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a solid film. I hope it does well. I would like to see, like a true prequel to Alien, but
the only problem with this movie, because Ridley Scott decided to make more Alien movies, is Neil Blankenheim, who did District 9, was on tap to do Alien movie, actual Alien 5 movie,
Blomkamp
or whatever. Neil Blomkamp, and he had a bunch of storyboards. Like his initial things he put out was amazing, and now movie will probably never happen because of Ridley Scott.
He gets fucked over with making really good concepts of films, and then. Because he was originally slated to do a Halo film.
Yeah.
And then he got fucked over. And then he went, I think he made District 9 because of that.
At least we got District 9.
Yeah. District 9 was good.
And then Alien. I think there was another one that he's done too, that he's come up with a lot of good ideas and just, no.
What's fun is after it's been a while, rewatching District 9 and remembering how hard of a left turn it takes in the last 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, drama, 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 and then everyone starts exploding.
Yeah.
Like, it just goes full fucking Rambo. Yeah. Just out of nowhere.
Yeah, it kind of does.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Kingsman does that.
At least it has some action scenes before that.
Yeah, but it does.
Yeah, but it does say it's a ridiculous.
It does accelerate the ridiculousness a lot.
Their heads explode in, like, purple.
Yeah, well, I mean, as soon as you get to the church scene in that movie,
it just accelerates from there.
The church scene makes sense, and then it turns into nonsense.
Well, the silliness comes out of nowhere, the action comes out of nowhere.
Well, the last moment thing.
There's a lot of silliness in the last, 10 or 15 minutes of that movie.
I love that movie so much.
It's a good movie. Super excited for the sequel.
The sequel looks fun. The trailer is promising.
As I told Nathan, I find it weird in a film where Mark Strong is a good guy. Because I'm so used to him being always a bad guy.
Rock and Roll, he's a good guy.
Yes.
He's kind of a bad guy.
And that movie is awesome, too.
I did. You would appreciate this, Brian. So on the way home, Raylene and I were talking about this, and she mentioned that, you know, it felt a lot like the first movie, you know, as the horror and everything like that. And I mentioned it's interesting time-wise. Like, if this and Alien had come out at the same time, you know, would the other one – was it just time? Like, is Alien actually better than this, or is it whatever?
Just old.
But the main point is she was like, yeah, and, you know, they do the thing where they have a strong female lead. And I'm like, what are you talking about? The hero, David, was not female. She did not understand.
What other movie were they for?
Well, in Aliens, it's a very strong
in the original trilogy. In the original four movies, Sigourney Weaver is the hero.
Right. Yep.
And in this one, it is a tradition in the Alien films to have a strong female, and it was groundbreaking for Alien.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like it was a surprise that she was the main.
No
hero.
One expected her to like be the hero.
Like they built up Dallas, the captain. You know, you got this big manly beard, and I got a gun, and I'm the guy, and like no.
Yeah, it was very twisty.
Good old Ripley.
Ripley.
I think we all liked it, though.
Yeah, it sounds like positive reviews all around.
Liked it way fucking better than Prometheus.
Yeah, that's a pretty low bar.
I kind of feel you almost still need to watch it before watching this one. You don't exactly, but it will
help. Is that a first season of Parks and Rec situation?
You've never seen it. I can't give that analogy.
I love that analogy.
Well, what it is it's a Star Wars Episode 1 to Episode 2 thing. Like, if you just skip to Episode 2...
you're pretty confused.
Not really. You miss out who Qui-Gon Jinn is, right? And you don't know how this guy met Anakin, but okay, so he and Anakin are friends.
But 2
is a
much worse movie than 1.
That's true, but my point is, like...
That is a bad analogy.
That is a fucking bad analogy. Like, if you didn't watch Prometheus, you'd be like, why is there a planet of giant blue people?
Yeah, and the whole premise of the whole plot is all in Prometheus for this film.
So that would be
Prometheus
confusing,
is unenjoyable, required background information for
it,
this
it's
movie.
It's a very pretty movie.
The
first one or the second one?
Prometheus is very visually it's well done.
Ridley Scott definitely visually, like, he's one of the most talented directors. His visuals are always stunning.
He needs to find better makeup people because the old man makeup was the worst. That was actually the really annoying thing, because I think it was Prometheus came out, and then they had old man makeup on some superhero film or something like that came out soon after that, and it was like it was night and day. Like it was even a cheap film or something like that had old man makeup that looked amazing.
Dude, commercials for the Gap have better old man makeup. Like it was terrible.
It was really bad.
That's too bad.
Oh my god!
They put baby powder in his hair.
It'd be nice if they did.
Pretty much, yeah.
If somebody came up with like a fan cut of it that maybe helped clear it up, if you could find a fan cut of it, it might be better.
I mean, I think we got the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the gist.
Yeah.
It is fun to watch some of the action sequences in there, though.
Jamie, for the first time, finally saw Shaun of the Dead yesterday.
Yeah, I finally saw Shaun of the Dead, speaking of...
Did you enjoy it?
I did.
And they watched all of Legion, so they're getting all
caught up. Yeah, caught up on Legion.
Yeah.
Including the thing after the credits in the last episode?
Yes.
Okay,
I have not seen any of Legion except for
what?
The first episode.
What?
It is super good.
You should watch Legion.
It was not
the Shays are ahead of you on TV.
Yeah.
That's embarrassing.
Fucking the... Oh, my God. Aubrey Plaza in that show.
So Brian
came over... amazing.
All the Emmys.
She's just absolutely unbelievable. So Brian came over to our house to teach us Feast of Odin, and he was getting ready to go home, and Katie and I are like, oh, we're gonna watch the rest of Legion because we watched part of it.
Five
and Brian thought we had seen through episode 3, and so he was just gonna go home because he thought we were about to watch episode 4, and we were like, no, we already saw 4, we're about to watch 5. He's like, I'm staying.
For episode 5.
Yeah.
Oh, is that
five
you guys
and
relate?
And, oh,
no, this was like
5 just takes
last
a very,
night, 2 nights ago.
Creepy turn.
The further the series goes, the more amazing Aubrey Plaza is, and so.
You know what I like about this was something we were talking about after he stayed for 5. Every episode is filmed in a different style.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
it's
amazing.
It's one of the most stylistic TV shows.
So, like, 1 is like Bollywood. 5 is like a horror film.
Yeah.
They've got the silent.
They've got
the
a silent film in there
the silent
that's
film
also
that's amazing.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. You should watch Legion, Andy.
No, it's on the DVR waiting for me.
Yeah, you should watch that.
It doesn't take very long to watch.
Just 8 episodes.
Today.
Yeah, I know. And then, also, right now it's marathoning. My DVR is marathoning Into the Badlands.
Yeah. That one I have.
Watch all Legion first.
Oh, Legion's
amazing. But you should now see the rest of the Cornetto trilogy.
What's the Cornetto trilogy?
Shaun of the Dead is the zombie movie.
Sure.
So it's basically the same director, the same actors. It's an ensemble thing.
Yep.
You have Shaun of the Dead as the zombie movie.
Hot Fuzz
is the cop film. And World's End is the sci-fi flick.
I don't think I've seen either of the other two. Well, I hadn't seen Shaun of the Dead either, so that makes some sense.
Right.
Katie said she saw Shaun of the Dead but did not enjoy Hot Fuzz because to her it was much more of a boy movie.
So I enjoy Shaun of the Dead more than Hot Fuzz because I enjoy zombie movies more than buddy cop movies. Sure. Like, and I imagine that it's a similar thing, and that what you're saying, it's a boy movie, you know? Yeah, I mean, it definitely is a buddy cop movie. It's okay. A guy film, but it's just like Shaun of the Dead. It kind of subverts it a bit.
It's just like Bad Boys 2.
Just like Bad Boys 2.
Just like Bad Boys 2.
If you like Point Break or Bad Boys 2.
I love Point Break.
You'll love
so much.
Hot Fuzz.
You know who also likes
original
Point Break?
Point Break. Yeah. Let's not be ridiculous.
Yeah, this was prior to the remake.
Yeah. I love Point Break so much.
Yeah, no, you'll like Hot Fuzz.
Okay. So I'll have to watch
Hot
Fuzz.
Just watch all three. And then World's End as well. And yeah. Very I like World's End a lot, too. I think it's my second favorite. I like it more than Hot Fuzz. It's underappreciated.
I still like Hot Fuzz more than World's End. World's End
You've probably
is
seen
fun.
It 10 times as many times as well, though.
I've seen World's End a few times.
Oh, okay.
It's been on HBO.
Well, I'm excited
Hot
to see
Hot Fuzz might have the funniest single word punchline ever, though.
Yarp.
Hot Fuzz has the advantage of being free on Netflix right now. World's I don't know about World's
Hot Fuzz
End.
Has the Hounders.
The who?
Yeah, Hound.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sandra Clegane is in it.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
He's great in it.
He says Yarp a lot.
Yarp.
That's fair.
I saw something on Game of Thrones where he yarped during like a show.
Yeah, an interview with like him and
some random person.
He and what's the fuck? Maisie Williams. Like, they apparently are real close friends in real life because they spend so much time filming together.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And yeah.
That part is, I guess it's not yarp. Really that much in the book, but. I enjoy. Yeah. Well, no.
Arya and the Hound.
No, it's nowhere near as big. But it's still a thing in the book.
I really enjoyed Arya and the Hound.
Oh, yeah. They did a good job with
the show. That was that and Arya and the Hound versus.
When the I will eat every fucking chicken in this place scene.
Correct.
That's like two episodes into their buddy cop. That's where it ends in the book.
Yeah.
It ends
that's
pretty
what
much
Jim
there.
Jim had mentioned that.
And so they just took it. They're like, no, we're going to have it last like a season and a half.
No, they're just really good thing. Together. Let's just let them travel together.
Yes.
It was so good. I loved it.
No and regrets.
Then, and then the sword fight between the Hound and
Brienne
is a really good
fight. And I know that's not in the book as all.
It's
they
not.
Never meet.
Well, I was upset when it happened, but then it was good and I
well, they just it was just well filmed.
It was well filmed, yeah, so I forgave it.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I have come to terms with the fact that the show and the books are different, and that's okay.
Yep.
They are not. It's not a situation where one is good and one is bad. They are just purely different.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes the books differently than the show gets finished.
He already said he's planning to.
I know. You can scoot closer.
You know,
no,
you,
I can't.
Every time you pull the microphone,
that's true.
I can move up a little bit. Every time you pull the microphone closer, you need to back up.
Because everyone just separates from Katie.
Bye, Katie. But yeah, so we watched that. We actually watched Passengers recently too, Katie and I.
Yeah,
which I
really
thought was way better
movie,
than the tomato. The tomato reviews for it, Rotten Tomatoes, are not good.
And I liked it.
But I really liked it.
I like it as well.
I thought it was solid.
I thought it was really well done. I thought Chris Pratt wasn't just like Andy from Parks and Rec.
But was he Star-Lord?
No, because Star-Lord is Andy's fantasy of what he himself is in the sci-fi movie.
Sure. Fair enough.
But I thought he was really good. And the what turned everyone off is the creep factor of him waking her up. What I told Katie is, I wouldn't make it a year. He made it, what, a year and 2 months or something, he says? There's no way I make it over 6 months without waking somebody up. I'm just like, nope, I'm waking somebody up.
Well, I mean, in reality, he would have woken someone up or he would have committed suicide. Yep. One of those two things would have happened.
Yep. That's just a fact.
I just thought of the most amazing teaser that they could put at the end of the next Guardians of the Galaxy film. Because they filmed like five of them for this recent one.
Yeah, they had like five this last movie, which was a little excessive, by the way. But
they should just have a sequence where he just wakes up next to Aubrey.
would be
he's
fantastic.
Like, I had the most amazing dream. I was in space.
He'd have to get fat for it, though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he was skinny by the end.
He was skinny by the end.
Because he stopped drinking beer for a month.
He was in shape for the last one.
But can you imagine that sequence? Oh, my God.
I would laugh ass off. That would be amazing. But, yeah.
I'm surprised nobody has thought of that yet to do that.
Maybe they might have thought
I know it's
it.
A fan theory that, you know, Star-Lord is just Andy's fantasy life. Like, there's a fan theory out there about that I've seen.
And they did it for Breaking Bad, so, you know, at least we got that.
Yeah. But anyway, so we enjoyed it. We've been watching several like movies and TV shows last week.
Describe
or so.
The movie you guys tried to get me to watch.
Okay, so I went to Jeremy had a bad week last week, so I went to Family Video and I ran four videos, and I ran Solace, which has Anthony Hopkins and Colin Farrell in it, and I asked the guy at the front desk if it was good, and he was like, "Yeah, it is." So because then
you're there actually giving them money for something.
Well, I got a free movie, and
she
so
had
I,
a free movie. So she
I
was
picking
like,
between that and Split. But I didn't know if Jeremy would actually watch Split.
Oh,
so,
Split's good.
I believe you.
So anyway, so he was like, yeah, it's good. So then we read out on Rotten Tomatoes, and it's about a psychic detective, Anthony Hopkins.
Already? You're like, what?
No. He's not a psychic. He is a psychic who a detective friend convinces to help him with a case.
Yeah, and they're trying to catch a psychic murderer. A
psychic criminal who's Colin Farrell.
Who's Colin Farrell.
And Brian was like, nope.
It did not get great reviews.
It did not get great reviews.
So it was like a 27%.
Psychic, like, see the future? Or make things levitate?
No, like, see the future.
Yeah. Or, like, connect with things.
So do they just, like, both sit in unrelated rooms and just see what the other one's going to do?
Basically.
And never bother to get out of their chair?
It's got Jeffrey Dean Morgan in it, too.
I mean, it's got a lot of good actors in it.
Apparently, Colin Farrell is a better psychic because he is always ahead.
He's always one step ahead, according to the review.
Yeah.
Yeah, but how?
He sees the future better.
We haven't seen the movie yet. We haven't seen the movie, so we don't know.
Wait, so you got it and you didn't even watch it?
Well, we get it. We have it till Wednesday, we watched Legion yesterday instead of...
Oh, okay.
Katie rented 4 because I was in a bad mood and she didn't know what I'd want to watch.
I'm just imagining the whole movie is like the finale of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where they tell each other what they're going to do after they win.
Yeah.
And that's how they win, is by when they win, then they'll make it so they win.
Yeah.
And that's what the psychics will have to do.
Basically.
It's like, I knew you were going to put me in handcuffs, so I had the key here, but I knew you'd have the key, so I did this instead. Yep. But I knew you'd do that, so I did this.
Yep. Only it's Colin Farrell and Anthony Hopkins. And at the end of the day, I've never seen Anthony Hopkins do a bad job. So, like, I want to give it a chance.
That's true. I've seen him in bad movies, but he usually
is... but he's always good.
Right.
He's getting old, and Nathan and I talked about this on our way back to the theater.
To pay.
Yeah, he's got bills to pay.
What bills?
What bills do you have when you've been Anthony Hopkins' acting
career? He's got grandchildren to feed.
You don't know how much hookers and blow he does.
That's true.
Westworld, and that was a phenomenal show.
And but he could tear through. You don't know how expensive cocaine and prostitutes are.
I mean, Brian does.
Yeah, Brian, how expensive are they?
Pretty well, it depends on the quality where you are. It really depends on your location, location, location.
It's cheaper in Madison, is that what you're saying?
Arctic Circle, I said Bogus Journey. I specifically said Bogus Journey. Trying to correct me, say Bogus Journey, not Excellent Adventure. You rewind this podcast, future viewers. I said Bogus Journey.
I feel like you put them both together.
Excellent Adventure, they do a similar thing where they plant the key to get out of jail, and they have to call to distract him so they can go through. But Bogus Journey is when they plant the gun, and then they take the bullets out of the gun, and then he has the cage, and they have the key to the cage. Yeah. Don't fucking try to catch me. I watched the animated series, motherfucker.
Well, just because you know doesn't mean you didn't misspeak.
I didn't misspeak. I paused, and I made sure I said Bogus Journey. But maybe because I paused, I overthought and said, make sure you don't say Excellent Adventure, and then I said Excellent Adventure. But in my head, I made sure I said Bogus Journey.
So in your head, you were right.
I think I said Bogus Journey.
The other day, I was at
Quiznos. Yeah, non-Euclidean Nick backed me up. I'm a winner. Fuck you, Arctic Circle.
I was going to say, the other day, I was at Quiznos, and I ordered a 4-inch sandwich, but I actually ordered a 12-inch sandwich.
That was probably more than you needed.
Is there a Quiznos still around?
Yeah.
Yeah, right over by our house.
Yeah.
Oh, that one's still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't remember seeing Quiznos.
It's like a Subway, but it costs twice as much.
Yeah.
I caught it when she brought out the bread.
And then it was way too big.
What did I say?
But yeah, so we had a movie weekend.
How would you not watch the Psychic Detective movie?
We might still. We might still.
Apparently we are going to. I'm going to have to drink.
All
right. Drink every single time they mention something about psychics.
Oh, God, I'll die.
We have that one and Bad Moms.
Or if
Moms.
They do this.
Yeah, we have that, Bad
if they
Moms.
They touch their temple.
Which I've legitimately heard is really good. And Bad Moms. It's
Kristen.
Mila Kunis.
It's pretty funny. It's a funny movie.
And then Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad.
Which I heard wasn't very good, but it seems like.
But I heard it was like kind of a goofy movie, yeah.
Not irrational, non-Euclidean Nick. I explained it.
Nathan's arguing with the internet.
I hate David Lynch because he's trying to recapture his natural creativity of his original films in forced masturbatorial fake artistry.
Do you know that when you talk to the camera instead of us, it's like you're on your phone?
I'm talking to him.
Yeah, I don't care about him, though. He's not here.
I don't care. Fine.
People on your phone aren't here either.
But you don't get us the sweet views.
Huh? She might now.
But not for this episode.
Oh, not for this episode. That's true. But future episodes.
What are you talking about?
Like, we got to get the clicks on the YouTubes.
Click. Like, I can sit there and watch it a million times.
Go to every streaming device in your house.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
And then hit play from each one of them.
Simultaneously.
Create new accounts for YouTube.
Yeah. I already have two.
All of them are all set up. to, and then find this video on YouTube, and then all watch at the same time.
And I'll be so thankful for that that I'll be talking to you right now. And it won't feel like when I'm on my phone, because I love you, Katie.
So you can... Now I feel like you're just being a dick.
No.
Future Katie, he's just being a dick. Right.
She's right.
I was going to say, you could say you love Katie, but you could space it out with every 5 seconds so she's wandering through the house.
Oh, she could see it.
Just hear somebody say, you know, sure, complimentary things.
Yeah.
Well, I can love you and still be a dick to you. Isn't that what love is?
You're not wrong, but you're an asshole.
Like, you're not an asshole to Jeremy constantly.
What?
I am so nice to him. Yeah. What have I ever been mean?
I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about.
See?
You're too dense to catch on when she's mean to you.
I was given permission to treat her as the terrible person that's my favorite person when we had that zappity grumble a while back.
All right, fair. All right, moving on.
All right, so before the end of this episode, we have to talk about A Feast for Odin. Because it's my new board game obsession, because we played it like 3 times this weekend.
We did.
So Brian brought it over to teach Katie and I on Saturday morning, I guess it was. We learned
tea,
the game.
And then we learned tea. We had
chai first, and then we learned the game. It is by the same guy that made Caverna and Agricola. So if you've ever played those games, you know the Caverna is a strictly better Agricola. One cool thing about Feast for Odin is it is, I think, a really good game, but it doesn't strictly replace Caverna in your game catalog, which is nice.
It doesn't replace it at all.
No, they're very different games. They have
they're different, but that doesn't mean that they can't supplant each other, because they're very similar.
There are some things that are similar.
So, like, if you're like, I have 2 hours, you know, you think they're different enough that it's not just, well, yeah, no, we're going
to
play
4 hours. I would love to play back-to-back. If I had 2 hours, I would play either one happily.
Is this a Concordia Imperial thing?
Yeah.
Where they're similar but different enough?
Okay. I think so. Admittedly, I've only played A Feast for Odin 3 times, though. So maybe I play it more.
I'm still figuring that game out. I feel like I'm going to lose that game about 15 more times before I figure out how to be good at it.
Which may be true. I don't know.
I got second my first time.
Yeah,
it's like
Seven Wonders.
Out of the gate,
but I'm losing.
Out of the gate, and I still feel very strong in Caverna because I basically just transposed all of my Agricola strengths and strategies into Agricola, and it works. And Feast for Odin is different enough where you can't. I mean, there are no similar strategies. The game is different enough.
Yep.
That it doesn't really work that way. But because Caverna, Agricola, more spots open as the game goes on. Yep. Feast of Odin, all 61 spots are available from turn one on, which is a huge difference. I mean, 61 fucking action spots
are available. And a lot of them use more than one action tick to go on. So, like, it's not like 61 individual guys out there either.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yep.
And having multiples of identical spots, but taking 2 actions versus 1 action,
or 2 versus 3, but 3 gives you a bonus. Like,
I do think that it's similar to Agricola, and that you kind of have to have a plan going in, and then you can't really waver a whole lot from that plan.
Well, a lot of those games are like, if you play Agricola, Caverna, and even a lot of worker placement games where you're gathering resources, you would need to make sure you're going down a way to keep your system going.
Right, but with, like, Agricola, like, your plan isn't, like, 2 or 3 moves ahead. It's like, I need to know what I'm doing. Like, this is my strategy for the entire game.
Yes, true.
You do need a long-term strategy. And I think this game's true as well.
Yeah, you need a long-term strategy.
The other thing that we're learning, as we've played it a couple of times, is you can't go all in on a strategy. You need to have 2, because every strategy has a certain amount of time and actions where you hit your optimum payout, and then if you don't have a second strategy you're doing, you just reach that point and it's too late to start another strategy, and you're just like, I'm just fiddling around for the last 2 turns.
Also, your strategy, like, on a given turn, the optimal use of strategy, it isn't even a matter of, like, you run out eventually. It's like, on turn 7, your optimal turn 7 for this strategy takes 6 of your Vikings.
Right.
So you have other guys that are just fapping about anyway.
Yep. Right.
So they might as well, like, that's why I grabbed an island. grabbed an island when I did. It's like, I had gotten my animals. I had that going. I was doing this. I'm like, well, I got 3 extra dudes.
Done.
Now's the time to kind of spread out a little bit.
Yeah.
No sense to me. Non-Euclidean Nick also mentioned that the game, and I've heard this other places, that the game is really fun solo mode as well.
Oh, that'd be interesting to try.
You basically use, I know you use 2 sets of characters, meeples, and you basically every other turn you do stuff, you switch colors, but the colors you use from the last turn, you don't pull.
They sit there as blockers.
They sit there, so you can basically you can never do the same action 2 turns in a row. Every other turn, you can do something.
That's fascinating.
And you start with less workers on the board, so you start with less and
fewer. I'm very curious if it's any good 2-player, because one thing I will say about Caverna, in my experience, it doesn't seem like a game that would be enjoyable 2-player. It might be, but like to me, looking at it, just like my perspective, it doesn't seem like it. This game seems tentatively like a good two-player game to me.
Well, I think, I mean, the Patchwork came out of that, and that's a great two-player game.
That's a fantastic two-player game.
Which, you said it does not replace Caverna.
Yes.
If, for some odd weird reason, Andy was drunk.
Uh-huh. You'd have to be real drunk to want to play this kind of game.
And showed up. I do play some weird games.
Like occasionally, you do.
You would like Caverna more?
You'd like Caverna better.
Because but if you're drunk, you're going to have difficulty with the pet. Yes, but Caverna, you play as dwarves. And you First go questing in caves, murdering things for points.
Why didn't somebody ever mention it to me that that's the premise of that? Everyone said Caverna. No one has ever said there's fucking dwarves.
In Agricola, you're farmers.
Yeah.
They're dwarven farmers?
No, Agricola, you're farmers. Okay. Caverna, you're dwarves. Okay. And Odin, you're Vikings.
But in the dwarven pillaging of caverns, that's only like one strategy. There's a
but it was obviously what Andy would do.
Right, but there are a bunch of different strategies.
But these tell you. If you play like a Viking, you'll do better in Odin.
Yeah, Brian also learned that playing a Viking game and never buying a boat, not the strongest strategy.
It almost worked.
I probably would have gotten a very similar score without, like, all the boat got. Well, I did the boats just turning things, but I never really needed to pillage or anything like that. I never did that.
I think Brian was at a point where if he had one or two boats, it could have spiked his score.
One, I used a boat once, and that one use of the boat, I think, gained me almost.
But you
nothing.
Also turned two boats into 39 points.
Sure, but I never sailed. I bought a boat and then just said, fuck it.
What? Which is still a huge point.
My point is that that's not playing like a Viking.
Yeah. I suppose that's true.
I never use it. Like, I used the vote to grab an island once, well, and I really feel grabbing that island didn't
gain me
much.
It's an immigration action, so you're immigrating into their territories.
And that's not Vikings. That's just immigrants. Sure.
But you don't have to necessarily go raiding to do well at the game, but I think having a couple of boats is useful. One or two is certainly useful.
I'll probably give it a shot. One of these times.
Yeah, I would recommend actually being drunk, though, because then you won't understand.
If that was going to be part two, is the patchwork part of it will be very difficult drunk.
Yeah, so not only, so the difference between the big difference between that game is you're literally collecting all these items, and you have to put them on a board, like basically like Tetris. You have to fill up spots, and you have to do all sorts of...
Andy's our tech guy, so I was pointing out the most recent thing in chat to him.
Then that should be correct. I did update it. Are you talking about for like iTunes or something? Message me on Facebook. Sorry, somebody's asking about. So what happened is episode 198
was linking to 189.
Was linking to 189 because my fat fingers.
That's a little funny.
I just interposed the two numbers there, and it's possible that the actual stream picked up 189.
189 as well.
But on the site, it downloads as 198.
Okay. Do you know that the difference between transposed numbers will always be divisible by 9?
No.
Wait, what?
If you take any number
and
flip it,
sure,
the difference between the two will be divisible by 9.
So 89 to 90, yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Huh.
And like a useless one I like is that if you take...
Wait, 42 and 24.
Yeah, they are 18 apart, which is divisible by 9.
Divisible by 9.
Oh, the difference between the two. Yeah. Okay, I was thinking of like...
Or I'm sorry, they're 32 apart. No.
No.
No, wait. 42 and 24.
42 and 24 is
18 apart. That's right the first time. Anyway, if you take a number that's made up entirely of the digit 1.
Okay.
So 1 or 11 or 111 or any of those. Sure. Multiply it by its... So square it.
Okay.
And the result is you count up whatever the number of digits was and then count back down.
Oh, like 121. So, that makes sense.
Yeah. So 1111 squared is 1234321.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
And 11111 squared is 1234543211.
Huh.
There you go.
Fun with math.
Yay, math.
We're a math podcast now.
Oh, there's a math guy on YouTube that's pretty entertaining. He's a math comedian.
What?
I don't know his name. I showed you a couple of his videos.
Probably. I believe you.
He's so good. He's on YouTube.
Katie discovered YouTube recently.
Not everybody can
like
be on YouTube.
Ago now.
That's probably true, actually.
Feast of Odin.
Great game. Highly recommended.
I broke 100 my first game ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Nathan set one of the better scores we've seen in 3 games.
I feel like the rules are really simple, and then so you just have to concentrate on strategy. I think I like that a lot. It's a lot like Concordia that way. The rules are simple,
but the strategy is deep. Difficult.
I accidentally did what you were talking about, is I think what worked for me because, or yeah, it was you that said that. Because from the very start, I'm like, there's 61 fucking actions, okay? And I have an idea, and I'm just going to do this, and I'm not going to look at those other 50 actions because I'm just going to get confused.
Yeah.
So by doing that, I picked a strategy and I stuck with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to fill this board, and I'm going to get animals fucking, and that's going to be my life.
And it worked.
Just filling a board and having animals have sex with each other. And, you know.
It worked.
For fear of the complication of the game, I did the right thing by sticking with one strategy.
I think one thing that I'm seeing as we've played the game more is I think getting an island is advantageous. Every player can get a benefit out of getting one island.
Yeah.
Two islands, I don't know if it was beneficial for me. One island was 100% beneficial.
My island was purely I took a loan.
Yeah.
Because I took $10.
Yep.
And then lost 10 points at the end. But it's okay because those $10. Right. It was like I was playing a Martin Wallace game.
Yeah. Like, assuming you buy it the turn it's about to lose its money. If you buy it earlier than that, you have to have a real plan.
The game has occupations and cards which can modify the game rules for you. So every time you play the game, you're going to have different occupations, which are going to help push you in different potential methods.
It's a pretty thin deck, so you're going to get bored of it really quickly.
Yeah, it's only like 100.
It's like 40 possible starting occupations. You pull, you know, 1 to 4 of them, and then you put the rest away for the rest of the game. And then there's like 100 plus that you use.
Maybe more, yeah. More,
probably 150 for you draw from.
There's more than 150, because I looked up one that was at least like 182 today.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay. So, yeah, it's very, very fun. I highly recommend it. I don't know if it's beating out. Let's see.
Terraforming Mars.
Terraforming Mars might still be my bet, my favorite. And as far as like new games, does this replace Anachrony as new games I've played that are amazing? I think it might. I think it might be better than Anachrony. And I thought Anachrony was amazing.
Anachrony is
better than Imperial.
Imperial, I only played the one time, so I feel like it's an unfair.
I want to play Imperial again.
I want to play it again, but I feel like I can't.
We need to have some day where I come over and we play Imperial and Concordia. So that we can, you know, we haven't back to back them, and I've never played Concordia.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that would be fun.
The thing with Imperial is the first time that we played, which is good with people who had never played before, except for yourself, and so like
which
people
was super handy.
Yes.
When something happened.
Yes, yeah. It did.
So I really like that game, but it'd be interesting playing with people who
have played,
who understood the game better.
Yeah, because I think we made a lot of first time player mistakes all together, which was fine. But it'd be interesting to see the game where we've all played it once.
Well, all together.
No.
I don't feel
like well, Katie kind of crushed us all. Mistakes. It turns out any game where the goal of the game is to be heartless and uncaring and make money, Katie's amazing at. That is just a fact. It just innately leans into her strengths.
Imperial is one of the most nihilistic games on the planet.
That is a fact. Like, if you have any sort of, like, oh, I identify with these characters in the game, nope, you lose an Imperial.
Huh, so if I have all these Prussians and French people murder each other, I get more money? That's
done.
Convenient.
Let's do that. That was Katie. Katie was very good.
It's a
good
fun game. I would recommend it, but it'd be good to play it.
Yeah, I would like to play it again. But yeah, so.
That's games.
Yeah. Do we have
Zappity Grumbles? We did. We had some.
We had a couple Zappities.
We had a couple.
On the Facebooks.
I got some on the phone,
It was on the Facebooks and stuff.
There was some on.
Seriously, though, fuck David Lynch. It's like the surreal artistic version of like Adam Sandler. You know, it's like, okay, you were funny.
Yeah.
You were being. Now you're just fucking terrible because you're trying to be Adam Sandler.
Yeah, that I actually agree.
Or Ben Stiller, you know, the same thing. It's like, I'm sick of you.
Ben Stiller, to me, is different because Ben Stiller has done various up and down different roles over time. Like,
he's done a little more, maybe, but he's usually just Ben Stiller as Ben Stiller.
When he tries to be Ben Stiller, I don't usually enjoy him. But then
how do we get on the Ben Stiller conversation?
We're just
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah.
Who has just become, I want to make movies about Adam Sandler.
I was just killing time talking about David Lynch some more while Andy pulled up the Zappity Grumbles.
I already had.
Oh, you're good?
I had it up almost immediately.
Sorry, let's do it.
Fair. So Gary asks, thoughts on the Warhammer 40K rules releases so far?
I know nothing.
We know nothing. We don't have anybody in the podcast or even side of guests on the podcast that play 40K.
It's not our wheelhouse.
Of Sigmaring 40K is not as abhorrent to me as doing it to Fantasy, because Fantasy was lobotomized from rank and file into Skirmish. 40K is already Skirmish.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's less of a big deal.
That, and it's just
even
not
an outsider.
Wheelhouse.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
If we were talking about maybe a new edition of Age of Sigmar, we could probably wax poetic about it, but can't.
Nope.
No clue.
Nothing
no clue.
On 40K.
Tyranids are still cooler than Necrons, though.
There you go.
That's all I remember from 20 years ago, is that Tyranids are cooler than Necrons.
Grumble.
Because I played Tyranids when Necrons came out, and fuck those guys.
Grumble.
Sorry.
Zappity. Grumble. Also, Necrons are basically xenomorphs.
No, Tyranids are.
No, Tyranids are.
Tyranids are. Sorry, Necrons are just robot skeleton mummies. Like, they're
okay. Awesome. I really do. We should have a Necron. We should find somebody with 40K armies. You and I should just play the
Necron
armies.
And Tyranids and just with the new rules, or just make shit up.
Well, no, because you make shit up quicker than I do, so. And better than I do. So no, we'll have two 40K guys. You let us use their armies, and then we'll just roll dice against each other.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go.
Because I know I can win that game.
That does sound like a game Andy would win, I gotta be honest.
Sorry. Didn't mean to poke the wound.
It's true.
Zavity.
Grumble.
Would you rather have a much higher than average jump or a double jump at your normal height?
Do they end up being equivalent? No, just your normal jump.
My point is, when they say much higher, do they mean double
the height?
So thus, it's the same equivalence, and we're talking about... Because if it's the same equivalence, then the double jump is more tactically flexible.
I would agree. I want the double jump, because that's the best move in video games ever.
Dude, I played the fuck out of Luigi in Super Mario Brothers 2 with that floaty big jump.
Yeah.
The running in the air.
Where he's got the little feet going.
Can I get the Princess Peach hover jump?
Oh, also good.
She was my go-to.
No, you can't. That wasn't a question.
That wasn't the question.
It's either you jump like Luigi... In a sense, or you jump like Samus.
Who's Samus?
Samus from Metroid.
If I can double, if I can change directions in the double jump, Samus is Metroid's sidekick.
So wait, I don't care about that, but we didn't answer Nathan's original question about whether the height is
equivalent.
It's a much higher than average jump,
like twice as high. Because if it's twice as high,
that is important.
But a double jump.
But if it's three times as high,
so let's make it interesting. Triple your normal height, but it's just a jump,
or
two normal height jumps where you can change direction in the middle. So now there's some discussion.
Okay, so now I have a follow-up question. When you land, is it a soft landing, or is it like a landing?
You're not going to break your legs. Let's assume that as part of this ability, you land.
You know how to land without being an idiot.
You got new shoes, and they're nice and soft.
So you can either jump triple or jump double with a direction change
in the middle. I'm still going double jump all the way.
Yeah, double jump.
I would triple over double, I think.
Yeah, I'm
You just want to jump straight up?
I find that the extra height will be useful more often than needing to change directions.
Because you can jump over a fence that way.
Yeah, I can double jump over
would
a
triple
fence,
your height of a jump clear any fence ever?
Well, double wouldn't either. I'm just saying,
the little ones like in front of a shrubbery, like the little white decorative ones.
I can get over that, man.
So Zappity. Brian apparently doesn't have an opinion.
True.
All right, Grumble. Best game to introduce a playgroup to legacy games.
Legacy game. Board games or video games?
No, what? Legacy. Like
what the fuck is
Oh, you're talking the
legacy video game? Like if your character like loses an arm, you have to chop your own arm off? What's that?
I thought you meant like old school as opposed to the actual legacy games. I apologize.
But old school games.
Yeah, no, legacy.
Okay.
Legacy. Like Risk Legacy.
Yes, I know what you're talking
about. We'll finish that game sometime.
Will you?
We will. I still got it in my basement.
I haven't played it, but I've heard the best one by far is Pandemic Legacy.
Yeah, I've heard good things about
that. Well, there's not a lot. There's that. There's Pandemic Legacy. Gloomhaven's too heavy. I've heard that the Seafall. I don't know. I would say Pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, based on honestly, it depends on your real, but it's either going to be Risk or Pandemic.
Depending on whether like Euro or Combat more.
Yeah, I mean, that's really, but either one would be, both are popular for different reasons.
Or play Magic, where when a thing is exiled from the game, you tear it up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Zabity.
Grumble.
What size shirt does Andy wear? Fuck.
That's a question whether Andy wants to answer it or not.
That's an odd question.
You might get a free shirt if you answer
it.
Rodimus Prime shirt incoming.
That's amazing.
He wears Gamer Standard.
Yeah.
2XL.
Yeah, yeah, it is Gamer Standard.
God damn it.
Zappity.
Grumble.
See, XL is American Medium.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And XXL is Gamer Standard.
Yeah.
I love the chart that showed, it was like at a conference for Linux, and it showed the t-shirt sizes over time. It was like hilarious.
Arctic Circle had mentioned about time stories, but I don't really consider that a legacy game, because isn't it you just play it once?
It is replayable. Like a legacy game, you would literally tear shit up, and time stories, you don't do that. You just lose value doing it again because it's like redoing a choose your own adventure book where you know the right answers.
Right.
Like you can still reread it and enjoy the story, but you know the right thing to do.
So a good way to do it is do Time Stories drunk the first time and then and then do Time Stories sober the next time.
Or vice versa if you're drunk enough.
You just can keep being drunk though.
You could just be drunk every time.
Play infinite number of times.
That's very true too. It was like I don't remember what we did here. I think we did we all died.
Do Time Stories and then just get hit on the head with a wrench.
It's just package Time Stories with a wrench. It's like, why is this box weigh 10 pounds? It's just not all cards.
It's just like when you beat the game, it's in the instructions.
That hit yourself overhead. Shipping costs quite a bit.
The wrench just says reset button on it.
You're such a nerd.
Zabity.
Grumble.
Brian's playing Star Wars. He does not care.
I should grumble.
He did. He's participating.
Who is going to MuseCon?
Not Andy. Me.
MuseCon.
Only Andy.
I am the only one going. And,
I would love to, but I work that weekend.
And would any of those attending be willing to play board game with listeners?
Nope. Sorry. I'm going to be playing Friday the 13th all weekend.
Play Blood Bowl with you.
That's true.
Yeah. Blood Bowl. I'll have Blood Bowl there. I will have a couple other board games. I will have Secret Hitler there because Secret Hitler is amazing.
Yeah. If what you like is Andy style games. Andy loves Andy style
games. Secret Hitler is one of the best, you know.
Is it? I haven't played that one.
As far as werewolf style, it's more like Resistance. But if you want to play a werewolf style game but have it not be the fucking worst, Secret Hitler is way up there as far as enjoyability.
Yeah.
It's way better.
Oh, it's way better? Okay.
I will willingly play Secret Hitler.
Is it one way better, like One Night Ultimate Werewolf is supposed to be way better? Because I wasn't impressed.
One Night Ultimate Werewolf is way better than normal werewolf.
That's terrifying.
What's wrong with One Night Ultimate Werewolf?
I still don't enjoy it.
I don't even like those games. That game's fine.
I still don't like it. That game requires people to be really good liars.
Do you like Resistance?
Yeah.
It's basically more like Resistance than the others.
Okay.
Except there's a key element of one person gets one power than game ends.
The mission phase is different. Apart from that, it's basically Resistance.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. That's fine. Then that would be fun because I enjoy Resistance.
I think it's a little bit more in depth than Resistance. Resistance is very simple. It's just yes, no, and then figure out who said no.
Yeah.
And then
okay.
Secret Hitler, you have to try
Secret
to figure
Hitler's
out.
Secret Hitler's pass fail and figure out who did fail. It really is.
But it's more in depth with knowing.
I didn't tell you this in 10 seconds. Instead of the team going on, it's always two people.
Okay.
One person draws three tiles, and the tiles either say pass or fail.
Sure.
And there are, let's say, twice as many fails as passes.
Okay.
So they draw three, they discard one unseen, and give two to the other person who discards one unseen and then plays the other one face up.
Okay.
And then they go, that fucker handed me two fails. And the other goes, I gave you a pass and a fail, you lying sack of shit. And that's where the game comes in.
Okay.
And that's Secret Hitler.
Okay, fair enough.
It's very solid. It is very Resistance solid. If you like Resistance, Secret Hitler is just as good, if not better.
Okay.
Yeah. It could be reskinned as anything else in the world. Yeah. It's just
the Hitler theme works for it. It really works well. As you fail, you pass fascist policies, which if you pass too many fascist policies, you lose the game. But as part of fascism, the government gets more power.
And
so you actually unlock the look at people's roles and the this, that, all those action cards are things that you get to do because they are fascist policies.
Okay.
So even as the good people, you're like, well, a fascist policy passed, which is making us lose, but at least that means we get to wiretap your phone.
Yeah.
Were you part of that one where Travis basically stonewalled somebody?
Yes. As with Resistance, there's going to be magical moments where somebody just balls out, plays well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens.
All right. And that's basically, I'll play board games. The only day of us who's going will play board games. Yeah. The only day that I am actually unavailable for board games is Saturday, but otherwise Thursday night, Friday night, and some of Sunday.
Hey, Katie, if you're still watching, love you, baby.
That makes me happy.
She's already asleep.
I only listen to audio. It's a podcast.
Zabity.
How many minutes have our podcast, us here, actually listened to our podcast?
I used to listen to the whole thing.
When we first started, I would listen to every episode. Yeah. And then, because we had things that were, like, there were, like, sound quality and things like that. And then... You forget, too.
Yeah, I forget the entirety of things. Like, I would, on Wednesdays, I wouldn't always have the car, and so I would walk from work to Pegasus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was like an hour and a half walk, and so I would listen to the podcast.
Yeah. I've listened to less than an hour of the podcast. When I leave this room, I forget everything that happened in the room.
Also, the first couple episodes that I wasn't on, I listened to out of curiosity, which was handy because, you know, you talked about me.
I've been at home, logged into the podcast once or twice for like a 15, 20 minutes.
Yep, I've done that too.
But
yeah, that's sometimes I do have to listen to the whole episode. So
my brother listens to us double speed, which is great. You should always listen to us double speed.
Actually, listen to us slow speed.
He played us half speed once. It was amazing. God.
Half speed, it just sounds like we're all drunk.
Yes. You are amazing drunk.
I knew that about her.
And then I was ranting about something, so I was swearing, and I'm like, "Mom, fucking thing." Good times.
That's pretty good. Zappity.
Grumble.
Is that it?
Well, that was my Zappity Grumble.
Oh, that was your Zappity Grumble.
Yeah, okay. I was just curious. I was curious if
there's not much in there. There's Twin Peaks, which can go fuck itself.
Yeah, what is the best superhero movie out there? Batman-style heroes count.
I think the original Guardians is just
phenomenal.
I absolutely love The Incredibles.
The Incredibles is
fucking amazing.
I'm excited about the new Incredibles they're making.
I wish they wouldn't have waited forever.
Well, yeah. Me too, but, you know.
Because Powers Booth is no longer with us.
Yeah.
Okay. Wasn't he dad?
No, Craig T. Nelson was the dad.
Craig T. Nelson.
But I did see.
So
on Something Awful forums, there's a thread that is things you just figured out, and people just come in there and go, "I just figured out this thing," and everybody just makes fun of them for it. And one of the recent ones was, "I just figured out Powers Booth is not Craig T. Nelson." So you're not alone in that, Andy.
Well, I mean, it's like the Dennis Quaid, you know, Harrison Ford thing.
Yeah.
You know,
I didn't like
Gary Busey.
No, I really liked it.
Nick Nolte.
I mean, I liked it. It's just like everyone else is like, it's like up here and it's like.
The action scenes are great. The moments, like I love when Dash is running from the guys and then out of desperation he runs on the water and figures out that he can do that and he just laughs to himself. It's great moments. Elastigirl is fucking hot. You know.
She's what? Like 13.
I don't know. The mom. Violet.
So speaking of inappropriate age.
He didn't mean Violet at all.
Speaking of inappropriateness.
I knew her name immediately.
I really think
Could
about
you
the,
imagine fucking Elastigirl though?
Anyway. So the Jetsons.
Yeah.
Dad's 40.
Sure. Yeah,
the mom's 33.
Sure.
And the daughter's 17.
Sure.
So you got to figure when the mom had. So the daughter had him when she was 17 and the dad was like 24.
How do you know these ages?
Well, I was listening to a comedy routine talking about the Jetsons. So really, the mom could have been like 16 and he was like 24 when they hooked up.
There is a cracked video that you may not have seen that was ruining your favorite shows with math. Yep. And somebody pointed out that in the original Cosby show, and this isn't going into the whole rapey thing, but in the original Cosby show, Bill Cosby's character mentioned that his wife had skipped her prom because of him. He's like 6 years older than her.
Yeah.
So he was like 24 when she skipped her high school prom. And that means, but then they had been dating for like 3 or 4 years at that point. So he was like 21 dating a 14-year-old.
Well, maybe 15.
Maybe
15. Okay, sure. That never mind. So it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Also, the actor turned out to be a rapist in real life, so it's double weird.
So there's that.
I did see that one.
Yeah,
of course you did. There were other good ones in there too, but I remember the Cosby one as well.
It is. I mean, I find that kind of stuff to be amusing.
It is amusing.
I just happened to hear the comedy routine on it earlier today, which is what made it pop up when you're talking about ages of them.
That's fair.
And how hot Violet, I mean Elastigirl, is.
Superhero films.
If she didn't stretch back down.
What?
I mean, like, she can stretch bigger. Can she stretch smaller?
I'm not even talking, like, making her vagina tighter. I'm talking, like, she could rim me while I'm fucking her.
I feel like that's overstimulation.
I feel like there's no such thing. I feel she's welcome to do amazing things.
So what are you going to do for her in return if she does that for you?
Let her rip me. I'll do the best I can. She's also stretchy, which means I could probably, like, I can rim her while she's rimming me while I'm fucking her.
That feels confusingly over the top.
But the point is I can do whatever she wants me to do. Within the abilities of my and her physiology, I'm a giving lover.
I like how we took like a very innocent question of what's the best superhero film and made
Katie
it.
Katie brought it up. Actually, I brought it up. And then she might not even be physiological. Maybe she's just into Cleveland Steamers. I'll shit on her chest. That's fine. I'm a giving lover.
What does that
feel? And I can shit on her chest while I'm fucking her because she's Elastigirl.
Wait a minute. I have a question, though.
Yeah.
Are you cleaning up the poo?
She can shake it off and just stretch it out.
See, because that's the real question if you're a giving lover, if you do that for her and then clean it up for her.
She still have to take a shower. Like, it feels like there's only so much I can do to clean off somebody else's chest. Yeah.
Well, you can take it. She's not going to shower. Yeah, like,
I'll scoop the bulk off. I'm going to clean up after my dog. I'll get a baggie and I'll scoop it off and then go get in the shower. And the top half of her can shower while I'm still fucking her in the bedroom.
How long does it take you to get off if you're always just still fucking her?
Well, it's again.
You can do a lot in 20 seconds.
Sure it is. I'm fat. Researchers have shown that fat men get winded faster, which means they last longer because it's really energetic to get the rhythm up to finish. So overweight men tend to like go for a while and be like, hold on a minute. So in shape men tend to finish sooner.
All right, then. I have no comment.
Whether you've ever gotten winded while lovemaking.
On that either. Jesus, Zappity Christ, Gumball.
That's why I vote for The Incredibles.
That's why.
We should jump to recommendations.
We should.
If Violet was older, though, so question. If something's inside of her, can you still see it when she turns invisible? Like, assuming she's over 18, she's of age. Can you?
So could I see my dong?
Yeah, could you see your dong going in and out?
You must be able to, right? Yeah. Because you have to be able to see through her, and that would include through the front half into the vaginal cavity.
One would think.
Yeah.
Well, let's say.
But does your dick become invisible when it's inside?
But she has to make food invisible.
Does your dick become invisible when it's inside her?
You don't see her digested food.
Does she just become a reflection of what might be behind her?
She must, because you don't see undigested food still inside her.
Yeah.
So that would be a great joke to play on your doctor or something like that.
Like, fuck an invisible woman?
Fucking invisible woman.
Joke's on you, doc!
No, you could like, literally, you know, pull down your pants and then your dick is just gone.
Wait, doc, I have a problem!
So, for this joke to work, the whole time in the waiting room, I have to have an erection and be inside of this woman. I'm like, it's going to be worth it, honey. This is going to be hilarious. Yeah. And so my pants have to be unzipped because my dick is out the zipper hole in this woman. Yep. So I have to carry her into the doctor's office, sit down on the table with her on there, undo my pants and go, jokes on you, Doc! Invisible woman! I am a dick! And then she jumps off, and we do a bow and leave. Yeah. That sounds like a great plan.
That's scary. You can be hilarious.
Could she make the wheelchair invisible? Or she could, like, walk on all fours, I guess. That'll work, too. She could be walking, and it's just like doggy style, so she's just walking in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about far more sense. So she just sits on my
legs. You're carrying her two back legs. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's walking wheelbarrow style.
Oh, wheelbarrow style. Yeah. It's not even like I'm in her and she's walking and she's bent over. It's wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
And I'm holding the legs.
Yeah. That wouldn't look awkward at all.
I'm just walking like this. In a swivel.
Keeping your pants.
I'm walking like a monkey with my zipper unzipped while handprints are appearing on the carpeting 4 feet in front of me.
Yeah.
This will be hilarious, honey. Trust me.
See, when he first said it, I thought that you were going to be the invisible person and you would just make your dick be invisible.
No, I have to be fucking violent this whole time just to play a practical joke on this doctor.
I mean, the other thing was, she sits next to you. You wait for the doctor for 10 minutes, and then you set up in the office. Your way is
better.
Yeah.
Well, because people, like, there's the receptionist. They'll see.
No, she wants to
see. No, what you're saying is you walk in with the invisible girl next to you.
She sits next to you invisible. You're normal.
Oh,
you're
she's already invisible. True.
Yeah, see, right. She's already
either way, she's already invisible.
I guess that works, too.
I mean, one way.
Because they usually show you the room. They escort you to the room.
Yeah,
and then,
okay.
And then they go and get the doctor.
I mean, your way involves. Your way seems like fun, too.
I mean, it would be a story.
Your way's probably more efficient, where she just goes into the room with me.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
And just right as I'm unzipping, she just has to just ram right onto there.
No, because
No.
Well, you can already be set up.
You put a gown on ahead of time.
Oh, sure. So he leaves. He's like, I'll be right back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Except for the gown would be like...
She could just be blowing you, and then that way she can.
And then the gown will be down.
Yeah,
the
gown will still.
Do I gotta explain all of this to you? Why am I the logical one? How did this?
Are you sure you're gonna want to hear like the gag noises?
And if the doc makes her laugh, that could be disastrous.
Or if she just starts laughing, it's funny.
Or you get too excited early and suddenly someone's got to clean up.
Well, no, if she's giving you a clean job, there's invisible? No
cleanup. There's no cleanup. Done.
Why? Depending
well,
on
Well, you're
her.
Assuming she's giving.
Yeah.
How else did your penis disappear?
What?
How else did your dick disappear?
No, my point is there's a finale to a blowjob.
Yes.
And for that not to need to be cleaned up.
Requires her to be giving.
Yes.
Okay, I get
that's
you.
What I meant. Maybe or, she doesn't want to...
Why is that giving?
Maybe she doesn't want to...
Like a generous lover, as Nathan would say.
Being willing to
being
receive
willing to receive.
That...
Jesus.
No, that's just being clean.
Fair.
Well, that explains a lot over there
so
now.
Much.
Wow. Too much information.
Wouldn't that be included in your cleaning crew, though? You could just leave it there. And twice a week, they would clean it up.
Oh. No, once every 2 weeks.
That's what I meant. Once every 2 weeks, they would... Yeah.
You have to...
Pile up. Yeah.
Or just plan it for the day before.
Oh, that would be nasty.
Or,
no.
Or do it while the cleaning ladies are there so they can just catch it immediately.
Well, it's just one cleaning lady.
Well, just... What, well, yeah.
No, just one while the cleaning... Just a minute. You're going to clean this up, bitch.
That's what I'm saying.
Just maintain eye contact while you do it.
Dominance.
This is going to be amazing.
I don't think
and that's how you
this.
Play a joke on your doc.
And so what's your favorite superhero movie, Brian?
Spider-Man.
Which one? The Act?
Wait, Tobey Maguire?
That evil doer.
Yeah. Or the new
You know, the first Spider-Man movie is very important because that really kicked off like a good superhero movie.
It did.
And the swinging scenes were so exhilarating. Yeah. Not swapping wives, you fuck nuggets.
Oh.
You're dirty.
I love that about her.
You had such a convoluted plan to trick the doctor.
I just didn't consider her being there not on my dick.
Obviously not. You're trying to figure out the best position for her to walk to the room. How many... Oh, my God.
I'm going to listen to this episode. I'll tell you that much.
All right. Andy, what's your favorite?
Superman.
Yeah, Superman.
Okay.
I know
the
Andy
very,
well
very
enough.
First Superman.
The original, yeah.
It has probably the best, some of the most iconic music from
it
a
does.
Superhero
It's really
movie.
Good.
I tear up when I hear that the John Williams Superman.
It's an amazing thing.
Because John Williams is a fucking musical genius.
I'm hearing it in my head and I feel tingles. It's such a that movie. Besides the end, you know, but it's a superhero film.
It is.
It's the epitome of superhero films. It's the best.
It is really good.
I have I think it's John Williams. Story. I'm just going to assume it's John Williams. Whoever did the soundtrack to Schindler's List, they told Steven Spielberg, they're like, you know, I'm not good enough. Like, you need somebody better than me. And he's like, yeah, I know, but they're all dead.
Okay.
Which is just hilarious.
That is pretty good.
Wow. Superman.
Oh, man.
All right. Good podcast.
That's the last one.
Yeah. Recommendation.
Quickly go through recommendations.
Oh, recommendation. Sure. I recommend Feast for Odin.
I recommend Legion.
Ooh, good.
Yeah, I recommend both of those. Those are really good. Oh no! I already recommended it. It's just a lot of stuff. American Gods is amazing. Fucking yes.
Never seen it.
I'm still holding. I will watch it soon.
Yeah. You have them all recorded?
I have the Stars app, so I can watch them whenever I want. Oh, yes.
Can I download that Stars app?
Is and use my password?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I'll let you use my HBO during.
I already have HBO.
It's all part of your Amazon, isn't it?
I don't have Amazon.
Oh.
Maybe I should have that instead.
I think it's cheaper. Well, you have to pay Amazon, so.
I don't have a new one. I've recommended so many things that to just re-recommend American Gods, MST3K, blah, 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 blah.
There you go.
I'm just going to go with Feast of Odin.
There you go.
What?
Well, this guy says another fuck, marry, kill with the current table, but you need to give us choices. I was watching The Fistful, or For a Few Dollars More with Raylene, and I don't know if you've ever watched any of those like spaghetti westerns.
I have.
Everyone in those movies is really, really ugly. And so I kept pausing it and making Raylene do a marry, fuck, kill with these grizzled, horrific Italian men.
Yep.
And she chose kill for all of them. All right, we are not going to do a marry, fuck, kill of each other.
No.
No.
That'll end badly.
Nope.
Not going to happen.
Nope.
I'm uncomfortable.
Exactly.
Brian? Oh,
Brian?
I'm going to double up on the Feast of Odin.
Oh. My recommendation, I really liked it. I thought it was a pretty cool show so far. Taboo.
The old 1970s porno about incest?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope. No, this is Tom Hardy. It's the BBC
made. Saw commercials for that and then forgot it existed.
I think basically pretty much the world forgot it existed. Yeah. Each episode of it, it's basically kind of telling the story of a guy who disappears into Africa, comes back after everyone thinks he's been dead, because his dad had died, left a big claim for over in the New World, and everyone's fighting over it. The visuals are probably some of the best I've ever seen for a television show. Each show feels like a full-on movie,
wow.
A full-on production. It is. It's.
Well, is it really, BBC?
I think it is.
Because a lot of BBC stuff is like that, you know, especially in length as well as like the you know, like look at the Sherlock show where every episode's 2 fucking hours.
Yeah, yeah. It feels like that. All the characters are really well in depth. The visuals are just goddamn amazing. It's a pretty cool show. I'm about halfway through it right now. But yeah, it's
nice.
Pretty cool.
I should have recommended Wild Orchid.
You still can
recommend Imperial, as we mentioned.
Which is also good.
Whatever.
Star Wars Rebellion 7 expansion. Come on, I'm very excited.
There you go.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the other Star Wars card game.
The board game has an expansion coming out.
Nice.
Soon I'm very excited for. Oh, that's all I got.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
That's $1.99.
I have to go watch Leftovers.
$200 next time.